Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a pleasure to be gathered together in the house of God and to worship Him. This morning for our message, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Instruction from Paul here in this chapter. And we're going to be looking at four of these verses toward the end of the chapter, the last four verses. Paul talks about a race, and he uses that, the analogy of a race in the Christian life, in different places in Scripture, and in different of his writings. What we have here in chapter 9, verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Talks about running a race with confidence and with perseverance, with vision, with a goal in mind. And you think of an athlete, think of a runner, someone who intends, or even someone who plays sports. Okay, they strive to win. You know, a basketball player doesn't show up on the court one day and decide that he's going to start playing basketball and he becomes the best. No, he spends vigorous hours practicing behind the scenes, away from the court, away from the professional court. He spends hours practicing for that. Same with the ball player and other sports. Same with the runner. They spend much time disciplined, thinking, changing, perfecting their sport. They want to win. They're striving for that. That's what they aim at. That is their final goal, and that's what they want. And so they spend time doing it. And the same is for the Christian life. You know, if we spend no time trying to build our spiritual life, trying to win our race in our spiritual journey, we're going to fall far short of where we intend to be or where we want to be. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." It is our faith. It is our hope in Jesus Christ that is going to bring us to victory in our spiritual journey. It is our faith in the unseen hand of God that's going to help us find our way. An athlete pays money to get training. They spend time to perfect their skill to the point they're willing to go to any end to perfect their sport or their goal. Now, the backdrop of this passage, Paul was in ancient Greece, a festival of athletic and musical competition in honor of the sea god Poseidon. He was kind of referring back, the backdrop of this is he was referring back to them, and the name of this god was kind of a like the Corinthians and the Theoses were people who, it was either one of them that this god was named by. But anyway, he was referring, and the name for that is, if I can even pronounce it, Isthmian Games is kind of what the name for this. But it was a huge event. And the people that participated in these competitions, spent time. They spent effort. They spent much effort into building and to becoming better at their game. I like to consider seven things here in this out of these four verses that are seven keys. The title of the message this morning is Keys to Running a Successful Race. Keys to Running a Successful Race. And I want you to think about seven keys here in this passage for a successful race. First of all, we can look at verse 24. And I'd like to look at the thought of proceed. The thought of moving forward. Verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Okay? They which run in a race run all. We need to move forward. We need to, he also says in the end of that verse, he says, "So run that ye may obtain." You know, it's easy in our spiritual lives to sit in the sidelines and to criticize other runners, criticize other spiritual people in our lives. We can spend all our lives criticizing other people and really get nowhere ourselves. And it's a challenge that we move forward, that we, it says we need to proceed, we need to move if we plan to win the race. A runner that is intent on winning the race, he doesn't simply stop and simply criticize the people that are, he's looking ahead and he's thinking about how he is going to get to his goal, how he is going to move forward, how he is going to run to win the race. He's relying on his training and his to push him forward to the finish line. If we plan to run, we need to begin. We cannot stand on the starting line and expect somehow to end up at the finish line with no effort on our part. It takes effort to run. It takes a perseverance of ourselves. We have to get moving if we plan to do it. Sometimes we do it simply because God commands it. Sometimes, you know, we don't see the whole picture till sometimes we're near the finish. And God, we have to understand that God can see the whole picture. You know, we can look ahead and we see disadvantages and we see roadblocks and we need to proceed forward. We can't just stop and just say, well, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look right. It's not something, I can't go there because one writer said this. He said, we can't expect God to say, well done, if we don't start. We can't expect to get to the gate of heaven and say, and have our Lord say, well done, if we don't start running, if we don't start doing something, if we don't start living our Christian life. Secondly, we need to pursue God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. You can keep your finger in there at 1 Corinthians. Isaiah 55, verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him come, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. We need to pursue God. in our race, in our journey of life, God needs to be pursued. We need to seek God with our whole heart. In our text, verse 24 says, "But one receiveth the prize." Again, the thought of myself. How do I plan to reach the goal? How do I plan to get there? How do I envision making it? Am I so concerned about what is around me and my surroundings and the people around me that I kind of lose sight of myself and I kind of lose sight of where I'm headed and what I'm doing in this world? Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Says this, says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with what? With all your heart." Pursuing God doesn't take a little bit of us. It takes all of us. It takes your whole life. It becomes a part of you. It becomes who you are. Pursuing God isn't something that you can do with just a little bit of your life and the rest of it's over here. It's something that has to be done with your whole heart. He was telling Israel this here. He says, you need to seek God. You need to pursue God with your whole heart. You can't do this half-heartedly. You can't just somehow make it with giving God a part of your life. You have to be willing to take action in pursuing God. We have to understand this morning that pursuing God does not come naturally for me. It's not something that just kind of happens, but it takes effort. It takes a change of my human attitude to that of God. My human attitude will not cut it when it comes to pursuing God. Another thing in pursuing is that we need to understand the value of where we are headed. You know, when a runner runs for that race, when he strives to win, he understands the value of winning. And he has that deep within him, and he wants it. You know, too many times in my own life, I don't understand the value of the prize that waits ahead, and I fall short because it's not of value to me. What kind of value are you placing on your spiritual life? What kind of value do you place on God? What throne does God hold in your personal life? Is He important to you, or is it something that you just, you know, it kind of works out when it does? Because if God is not the most important thing to you, if you're not seeking God with your whole heart, you're going to lose out because in the end, you know, there's going to be other things that are going to come up that are going to overtake God, that are going to overtake His lordship in your life because they look more important, because they look bigger, because they look better, because they work out better. There's all kinds of excuses that you can put in there. Philippians 3, verse 14 says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." It's the New King James Version. But he says, "I press toward the mark. I persevere. I move forward. I pursue." Psalms 119, verse 45 says this, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." For I seek thy precepts. Seeking God, pursuing God. We run to receive a crown. We want for heaven, for a goal in mind. Thirdly, we talked about this some, but we prepare. We prepare. Back in our text of 1 Corinthians 9, it says this, verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. The thought of temperate, the thought of being preparing, doing something about to prepare ourselves for the journey that lies ahead of us. Now, the thought of temperate here has a thought of self-control and gives the idea of inner strength. One who temperates his life, draws lines on his life to control, bring his body into subjection, he talks about down in verse 27. But the synonyms of temperate there is like agreeable, balmy, level-headed, mild, pleasant, restrained, sober, clement. So that's the thought of one who is controlled in his life, who is, you know, a runner doesn't, he looks what it takes to reach his goal, and he gauges himself accordingly. He's constantly thinking as he is going and pacing himself to reach his goal. He's concerned that he gets there, that he reaches his goal, and he's drawing from what he has learned in his lessons, in his classes, in reaching that goal and being the first to reach that goal. He wants to strive for that, to cross that finish line. That is his vision. That is where he's at. He wants to cross that finish line. And it's very important to him that he does cross that finish line. If we want to win, we have to prepare. We have to prepare. One of the things that happens in life is we meet many, many unplanned circumstances. We meet many, many unplanned things in our life. And so we start to run, only to be thrown back by one circumstance, something else. We'd be thrown back by obstacles in our path. And it throws us off track, and we wonder really where God is. The goal we thought we had in mind seems obscured by things. Seems obscured by circumstances. It becomes obvious, seems to be obvious, that God has our worst in mind rather than our best. It seems quite obvious that He's trying to throw you off track. You know, I think of the story of Job and what he had, what he lost, and what he gained in the end. And Job was not deterred by the circumstances that he faced. And why was that? Because he trusted in God. God was his goal. That was his vision. That was his everything. And so when the circumstances of life hit, yes, it was hard, but he was able to withstand. Why? Because he kept God. Preparation consists of time with God. We talked about pursuing God. And preparation is time with God. It's time in His Word, time in worship, time in prayer. It's spending time, just time relating to God on a personal level. That's where our strength comes. That's where we prepare for the times that we face. Because if it's not there before the hard times, it won't be there in the hard times. Hard times have a way of drawing us back to God. And God allows things like that to bring us back to where we belong. A runner who is not ready will not be prepared and will not win the race. We have to be ready if we plan to win. In Philippians 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." We need to forget the things that are behind, and we need to look at our goal, and we need to be focused on the things ahead. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Laying aside the weight that doth so easily beset us. We need to lay aside the things that draw us away from our goal of pursuing God. We need to lay those things aside, and we need to run the race. Why? Because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. There is no getting around Jesus. There is no getting around. Someday, you and I are going to stand before God. We're going to answer for our lives. We're going to answer for how we lived, what we did. Revelation 3, verse 11 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." New King James Version again. But we need to strive for the crown of glory. We need to strive for heaven as our goal. In 1976, the University of Indiana won the NCAA national title. When interviewed about their success, Coach Knight said, "The will to succeed is important, but what is more important is the will to prepare." Is the will to prepare. It's about the preparation. Preparation is a huge part of whether we're going to make it or not. And how where we find ourselves in the race of life. Fourthly, we need to be perceptive. We need to be focused in our lives. And he talks about that here in Hebrews 12. He says, setting aside the things that easily beset us, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, keeping our eyes focused on the most important person of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Keeping a focus of who we really are in God. Colossians 3, verse 2. Says this, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." It says, set your affections. It says, You need to set your affections on the things above, not on earth. If we plan to be focused, we need to set our affections on the things of on high. We can't set our affections upon our love, upon these heavenly or these earthly things, or we will fall far short of where we want to be, where we wish to be. Also, Philippians 3, verse 20. Back of one book. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Someone who is looking. Someone who is... It's not someone who is focused around the temporal and the earthly things, but someone who is looking to Jesus. Someone who is looking for something better, looking for the Savior. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where's our sights? Where are we looking? Are we looking at the temporal things? Or are we looking at the things of heaven, at God, at His kingdom? Are we looking to build God's heavenly kingdom, or are we looking to build our own kingdom? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. Number five, we need to have purpose. We need to understand, we talked about a little bit in the beginning about understanding why, understanding the race, understanding the reasons. If we don't understand why, then we're going to have a hard time being motivated about our spiritual life. 1 Corinthians 9, our text, verse 26. Says, "I therefore run, not as one, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." He says, you know, I ain't just doing this just because. There's reason for why I do what I do. Do you understand this morning the goal? Do you understand where you're headed? Do you understand the prize? Do you understand? You know, and the only way we are going to understand it is by reading His Word. Because in His Word, He tells us all that is needed to live godly in Christ Jesus. He gives us all that is needed. Without purpose. First Peter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 says this. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." Leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. We need to follow the steps of Christ. You know, this isn't something the Christian life isn't some elusive thing that we can't understand and can't follow and can't. It's something that can be followed. It's simply following the steps of Christ. It's simply doing what Christ would want us to do. It's simply following what He teaches. Taking the Bible literally and living it out in your life. That's what following the steps of Jesus is. We need to have purpose. And in purpose we will be energized. It will give us, when we understand where we're headed and what we're doing, you know, when you're following maps and you don't have an idea. You're going into a new area, and you don't have an idea of where it is. Nowadays, we have phones, and we just look at them, and we follow the roads they tell us to go on, and we get there. But if you don't have a picture of where you're headed and what you're looking for, it becomes hard to find, to recognize it, the area, until you're there, and you kind of, okay, this is where we're headed, but you don't know, you can't visualize it until you get there. God gives us full explanation for the Christian life, and He does not leave anything kind of this elusive. It's not this elusive trail that, you know, hey, we're headed here, but no, He gives us a scripture to study and to tell us what it's all about and the prize that we are to win, the prize that we can win. There's a story I came across that there's this man approached a laborer who was laying bricks and asked him, "What are you doing?" And the laborer said, "Can't you see I'm laying bricks?" And the man walked over to another bricklayer and asked, "What are you doing?" And the workman answered with pride, "I am building a cathedral." Two men were working on the same project. They were doing the same thing. One man was focused directly in front of him. The other man was focused on the finished product of what he was building. When we focus on the present and where we're at presently, and never take sight of the whole picture and how this may turn out, there will be many flaws. There will be many things in the project. We may fall short. We may, the Bible talks about, building a house, sitting down first and considering the cost, where it leads and what it, the final picture of how this is all going to work out. We need to know where we're headed. Also, number six, we need to produce fruit. Producing fruit is part of the race. If we plan to run the race successfully, fruit is a part of that. And he says, I'm not, and it comes back to the thought of purpose, but he says, I don't just do this fruitlessly. Something is coming for my life. Verse 26, he says, not as one that beateth the air. He fights for a purpose. He fights for a reason. And turn to Galatians chapter 5. We have the fruit of the Spirit here. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We need to produce the fruit of the Spirit. It says if we live in the Spirit, then we will also walk in the Spirit, producing fruit. These things need to be coming from our lives. It's the fruit. It's not fruits, it's fruit. If these things aren't coming from our life, our race will be unsuccessful. Our race will become dead. And also another thought, number seven, the race takes persistence. It takes persistence. He talks about that in verse 27. It says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It says, bringing his body into subjection. Discipline himself comes back to the thought of self-control. But Paul vigorously disciplined himself in his spiritual life. He says, why? So that, you know, while he preached to others, he himself would become a castaway. It's to keep himself from falling out. Paul was concerned that he made it, that he reached the goal, that he reached that ending goal of hell, of heaven, and he was willing to subject himself in life to find his to grow his spiritual life. An athlete's strength comes from discipline, comes from strict discipline, and that's in diet, in running, in everything. It's sports as a whole. Their strength and their goal to win is in all areas of their life. It's not just this part area, but it's something they give themselves wholly to, and it's a vigorous they do everything they can. They discipline themselves strictly to reach their goal. And Paul's saying, we need to do that as Christians. You need to do that. I need to do that. We can't expect to make it without strict discipline in our diet, in the things we read, the things we allow into our lives, the places we go, the diet we allow our lives to feed upon. Is going to affect us tremendously in our race. A couple areas that we need to have discipline. First of all, we need to discipline our minds, the thoughts that we think. You know, we need to bring every thought into captivity. We need to train our minds to think godly. We need to train our minds. It's not something that you naturally do. It's not something that you just comes as natural for our human lives. It's something you need to train your mind. You need to discipline your mind into thinking. We need to discipline our bodies, our character, our appetite, as we talked about. We need to let our moderation be known unto all men. Okay? An undisciplined life is one who is not living for God. Is that too strong to say? Let your moderation be known unto all men. We need to be disciplined in our speech. James, let's read a verse out of James for that. James 1:26. It says this, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Bridleth not his tongue. He deceiveth his own heart. Do you know that your tongue can deceive your own heart? What do you tell yourself? What you tell yourself, what comes out of your mouth, is what goes through your mind. And it says who you are. It says it deceiveth. Deceiveth your own heart. And so if we intend to live righteously in Christ Jesus, then we need to fill our minds, we need to discipline ourselves in right thinking, in right speech, in right character, because it's not something that's going to be natural for us. Let's take the challenge to heart in our lives as we think about that we discipline ourselves to live godly in Christ Jesus.